T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. We're asking you to download the radio.com app. Why? Well, because we know you're not in your vehicle as often as what you used to be. And you want to listen to the station? Want to listen to the show? How do I do it? Simple. Download the radio.com app. Put that on your device. Take that smartphone. Take that Alexa speakers that you've got, your tablet, your boombox, your Walkman, your 8-track player, Commodore 64, Sega Genesis, Coleco. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something. That way you can always catch us when you're on the go. Social media, hit us up at 929 The Game. That's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. All the platforms available to you there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show and follow with what's going on through our personal Twitter handles, hit me up at JMCH316, at JMCH316. 316, that, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there. He's in Midtown producing the show, hanging out with me here on this Tuesday evening. Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Busy Tuesday night here as we're back at it. Of course, this is our second show on Tuesday. Two shows in on one Tuesday. How about that? Bonus Chuckery for it. Lots to get into with you here this evening. Coming up in the next segment, we will talk with Kevin Egan from the Fox Sports South broadcast of Atlanta United on Friday. We will talk to Jillian Sakovitz and her thoughts as we get into pre-match night tonight. Atlanta United, of course, taking on FC Dallas, who has been red hot. Did not start off well, but they have been red hot since about the middle of August. They have only lost one time since the middle of August. 4-1-3. Four wins, one loss, three draws in 8 matches since a loss on August 12th of all teams, Nashville. So we'll talk to her. A lot of Atlanta United news going on with signings, more injury announcements. Yeah, it's a lot going on. So we will catch up with her on all things Atlanta United and around the MLS. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Aaron Torres will join us. Talk some college football with him as SEC gets at it. Now, by the way, we will, if you go on 929thegame.com, and I believe it's either going to, if it's not up there now, which should be up by tomorrow, but Chris Goforth and I did a, we're going to start doing a college football game time podcast. So you can catch it. It's quick and breezy. It's about 30 minutes, just kind of talking all things college football, looking around, especially Georgia Tech in the end, then the start of the SEC. So check that out at 929thegame.com. If, like I said, I don't remember if Brian said he was posting it right away or if it's going to be tomorrow, but it will be up online so you can catch Chris Goforth and myself talking all things college football. So we'll talk to Aaron coming up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour and get his thoughts as we get into now what's going to feel like the real opening of college football as the SEC gets underway. So lots to get into with you here. Watching the Braves, it could be clinch night tonight. Now, I didn't see Jarvis did Philadelphia lose game one of their doubleheader. Because if they did, a Braves win tonight will clinch the division. So even though the magic number was 3, here's the way it worked. Braves win tonight. That guarantees them the tiebreaker over the Marlins and would eliminate everybody in the division. But to win the division, they also needed Philadelphia to lose one of the two games. They're playing Washington in a doubleheader. I know they were down 5-1. Jarvis, did Philadelphia end up losing game one? Okay, so Philly loses game one, which means the door is now open that if the Braves win tonight, because of all the tiebreakers and things like that going on, they will clinch the division tonight. Now, it's a fait accompli, but they will clinch the division. One going to be tonight, it'll be tomorrow or the next night, or it will be very quickly here because they have the Red Sox coming in, which, you know, how dreadful they are from when we watched them in Fenway Park and how dreadful their pitching is. So Braves can clinch tonight with a victory. Bryce Wilson will get the start tonight. Who was supposed to pitch tonight? It wasn't Bryce Wilson. Let me think of who was supposed to pitch tonight. Let me roll through my Rolodex. Was it Newcomb? No, I want him. Fulte? No, I want Fulte. Tukey? No, no. I'm trying to think. Was some guy that I don't think we've even seen this year, have we? Oh, no, that's right. We saw 3 1/3 innings of him. I forgot. That's right. Okay. Anyway, Bryce Wilson will pitch for him tonight. So, there you go. Yeah. You know, I was reading a couple things I want to get into here at the start of the show. I keep reading lots of recaps and reviews at how happy and excited people are about this new Monday Night Football broadcast team, which is not so much really new. Brian Griese and Steve Levy, they've done college football together for a while now, so they've been a tandem. The difference is it used to be McShay down on the sidelines when they're doing the college football broadcast. They have who's the guy, Jarvis? Why did my brain just – Lewis Riddick. So they got Lewis Riddick in there with them now on the broadcast. And in all honesty, the things I'm reading, you would think that these guys are Cosell, Meredith, and Gifford all over again. Like, it's okay, but – And I'll be, if we're going to, let's go ahead and get, I'll be the a-hole. We'll play who's the a-hole. We'll get it started early. I got to tell you, I'm not that excited about the broadcast. Do people really think, I shouldn't say it because all the reviews are like, oh, this is so much better than Tessitore and Booger and all. Okay. Is it? I mean, Greasy doesn't do anything for me. I like Lewis Riddick. I'm not exactly sure why people thought he should be an NFL GM. I mean, why don't you make me an NFL GM? Anyway, Steve Levy's fine. But the way people are talking about, oh, this is the best thing that's happened to ESPN in a long time. Is it? Okay. Why am I not getting it then? Why do I not get excited, you know, about all of it? I mean, I thought those guys were fair at doing college football. I didn't think they were anything special. I don't think they have great chemistry and all that excitement, things like that. So I don't know. Again, we'll start off. We didn't get a chance to do a regular show last night, so we'll play Who's the A-Hole really early, and I'll go ahead and take the throne for all of it. I was just kind of like every time I looked at a story, you know, about Monday Night Football, it's like, oh, the broadcast is so much better. Okay, I guess. I mean, is it better than having Sean McDonough on there? Yeah. I'd rather have Murph Dog on the broadcast than Sean McDonough. Okay? I mean, that ain't saying a whole lot. It's not exactly, you know, a huge step up. I'm not a big Sean McDonough guy. I think he's fine. But, I mean, he's about as exciting as a plain bagel. So, I guess it's better than him, but I don't think those guys are better than having Gruden on there. Gruden's fantastic. And by the way, first off, I can't believe a team in the NFC South blew a double-digit lead in the first quarter of an NFL game. Oh, wait, yeah. So the Saints go down last night. We didn't talk too much about that game after the show because we had so much Falcons stuff to get into. But good for Oakland, man. Opening up their new stadium, Mark Davis was not there. Said he didn't think it was right if fans weren't going to be there, that he should be there. At least we don't have to see Mark Davis on the sidelines of their games. Anyway, but he was not there last night. Stadium looks pretty cool. Give the Raiders credit. And listen, maybe John Gruden is a decent coach. Considering what they've let go over the last couple of years, over the last two, 3 years, considering what they've let go, they look pretty good. They got some guys. They got some, you know, it's like every other NFL team, right? Comes down to what their quarterback can do. If their quarterback can do some things and make some plays, you can win in this league. You can get really good quarterback play, you can win. You can be deficient in a lot of different areas. If you get really good quarterback play, you can win lots of games for all of it. But I just kind of was like, I didn't know that the broadcast team was so great and people were just so excited about the whole thing. But I guess, like I said, I'm not as cool and hip on that kind of stuff as some folks are. All right, so this story is fascinating. You know, we were talking about all of the different options, obviously, that you have right now in the world of sports, right? So baseball, football, bubble basketball, golf. Remember, we had the Kentucky Derby and things like that. And we've kind of wondered who's going to get their place in the American viewing lexicon. Let me tell you who's not getting any place right now in the TV viewership. That would be the NHL. Okay. Now, traditionally, NHL playoff hockey is fairly popular, although, as I've said many times, SpongeBob SquarePants reruns draw higher than NHL broadcasts. That's not myth. That's not hating. That's not Chuck Reed being the a-hole. I'm just reporting the facts. If facts aren't your friend, I'm sorry. But normally, April, May, June, NHL playoffs, you've got NBA playoff action, you've got Major League Baseball, sort of early regular season, so not a whole lot going on, right? Well, in this, obviously, with the pandemic, everybody is out there, okay? So when you look at some of the numbers, the NHL averaged 844,000 viewers for its playoff games in all of the rounds before the Stanley Cup Final, which started on Saturday. So the Stanley Cup Final started on Saturday. In the first three rounds of NHL playoff action leading up to that, they were averaging 844,000 viewers. The story says not only is that a 28% drop from a year ago, but it's the lowest since NBC Network took over all the playoff games as part of NHL's TV deal back in 2012. Of the 11 conference final games, only one game saw an increase from year over year. And the reason that it saw an increase from year over year is because last year the comparable game was on the NBCSN network or platform, whereas this year, it was on regular NBC. And it says that Game 1 of Stars Lightning, which was the start of the Stanley Cup Finals, drew 2.12 million viewers on NBC. That meant it finished fourth among the six live sports contests airing on Saturday. The only two things that it was beating out was part of the MLB on Fox national game, not the whole game, but part of it, and on ESPN2, it beat Louisiana Tech versus Southern Miss. But outside of that, it got topped by everything. They say this year's Game 1 Stanley Cup Finals is the least watched game since Game 4 of the finals of Devils Kings in 2012. It's the third lowest watch Stanley Cup Finals game on broadcast TV since the year 2000. So, listen, we talked about, I said before, I thought the NHL was going to have a really hard and difficult time finding a foothold. And as I said back a few months ago, How excited are people for playoff hockey in August and September? Well, obviously, my question has been answered pretty much rhetorically because I already knew what the answer was going to be. I didn't see how the NHL was going to get a foothold and didn't think that there'd be a lot of excitement around it. The stats prove it. This is the lowest ratings that they've had in NBC's history over these last 8 years of owning the NHL rights. Even though it's a pandemic and people are starved for sports and this, that, and the other. And I've said before, and you guys love to cut half the teams out of the NHL. Cut half the teams out. Put as many star lines of teams together as you can. Give me at least two lines of stars in the NHL. Oh, no. Okay, well, the TV says nobody's watching. When you can brag about beating part of a baseball game and Louisiana Tech Southern Miss for your foothold, it's not going as well. All right. Fox Sports pregame, postgame, in-game sideline reporter Jillian Sakovitz, covering all things Atlanta United. She will join us coming up next as we get ready for Atlanta United FC Dallas tomorrow night. We'll talk to her next. John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. Watching some Braves baseball with you here as they try to clinch tonight after the Nationals did their part to knock off the Phillies in Game 1. So a win by Atlanta tonight. They clinch the NL East. By the way, it looked like Ronald Acuna had connected on one off of Jose Urena, who's pitching. By the way, he's 2-8 with a 6.55 ERA. Yikes. Ugh, ugly stuff. So, well, coming up tomorrow, and there's a lot of news surrounding Atlanta United, they will be taking on FC Dallas. Of course, we have your action right here on Sports Radio Nights on the Game with Jason Longshore and Mike Carney on the call. But, of course, Fox Sports South, they've got all of your TV coverage there. And we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. She is one-third of the broadcast for Fox Sports South's Atlanta United coverage. You see her on pregame and postgame and takes care of all the sideline action during the game. Jillian Sakovitz joins us. Check out Jillian's podcast, by the way, MLS Call Up. She co-hosts that and find that on all of your favorite platforms to find your podcast. And, of course, you can find her on Twitter at Jillian Sakovitz. As always, Jillian, appreciate the time. Thanks for being on the show this night.
Hey, John, I'm excited. I'm really excited for tomorrow night. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here.
No problem. No problem. Well, listen, we got a lot of news to cover here. So
yeah, we do.
We got more bad news today as Carlos Bocanegra made the announcement about Cubo Torres with his knee sprain and going to miss a lot of time and probably looks like maybe even the rest of the season that he's going to miss. I mean, Jillian, it's the walking wounded right now. I mean, you know, what do we say about Atlanta United's depth at this point? Because it seems like, you know, so many guys that are just fighting, you know, even some small nagging things. I mean, you know, I wonder if some of this kind of start and stop that we've had all this year is maybe starting to catch up to some of these guys with a more regular kind of Saturday-Wednesday schedule.
Yeah, I think, John, you know, we're seeing it across the league. I talk to coaches and clubs outside of Atlanta United, and people are dealing with a lot of injuries. You'll see a lot of rotated rosters, 4 and 5 changes of the 11 guys out there because they're going, to your point, Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday. That's 3 games in 9 days. You know, it's not easy on anybody. It's not easy on the players, the staff, the broadcasters, everyone who's kind of trying to figure this season out as we go. And you mentioned Cubo Torres, and that's so upsetting because we hadn't even seen his best yet. He told us that before he arrived here in Atlanta about a month ago, he hadn't played a full 90 since March. So he was just getting back to full fitness. So then to see him go down it's disappointing, but among us broadcasters, and I know amongst the fans, the question heading into every game is, who's going to play at the striker position now without Joseph Martinez? Is it Adam John? Is it Cubo Torres? Now you have your answer. It's Adam John. And we have to all give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a big body in there, and we have to be ready to see what Adam John is going to do because it's him now.
Jillian, we got the announcement today, both Atlanta United and Atlanta Falcons making kind of separate announcements about that starting in October that we'll start to see fans back in the stands. So starting October 24th for Atlanta United, and then November 1st, I believe, is their next home match. How kind of surreal has it been being at Mercedes-Benz this year with no fans, you know, without having that crowd? I mean, you know, we've talked before, I mean, I've talked to all of y'all, with you and Kevin and Jason and everybody, about the fact that I don't know that there's obviously any better home field advantage in MLS than what Atlanta United is, but how surreal has it been kind of being in that building so empty with, you know, Atlanta United matches going on?
Oh, it's been hollow. It's been so empty on so many different levels. It's that feeling of when you get to work and you feel like you're really missing something, and you look around and you're like, huh, okay, wow. I watched back my own shows, and I said to myself, your energy's low. Your energy's very low, because for us, it's been so easy. You know, our set is down on the field, so it's been so easy to get up for a 30-minute pregame show because you're reacting to the fans saying hi to you, to the players warming up behind you. So if, you know, players, broadcasters, coaches, staff, technical staff, we're all different, but I think we're all feeling this in the same way. And I think the Atlanta United players are feeling it big time. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that today to Stephen Glass, and he pointed out that 11 out of the 17 goals that have been scored against Atlanta United have been from the restart. So whether that's a throw-in, the play restarting. So it's kind of that idea of making silly mistakes. It's not a broken system or not a roster that shouldn't be making the playoffs. It's more the idea of kind of getting caught off guard. And I think some of that has to come from the lack of fans, of that you're in this, you could drop a pin and hear it. You're in this empty, amazing stadium, which Atlanta United is so not used to. So when you kind of see that, that lapse in judgment at times, you know, I think some of it has to go to the fans, and it's going to be so great when they can return at the end of October. And you were right there. They'll have a game at the end of October, October 24th and November 1st. We'll have fans in attendance in a limited capacity, and exactly what that means, I'm not sure. Tomorrow night on the pregame show, which kicks off at 6:30, we have Darren Eels on in that first segment, so he will have more details on that for us. So look into it, because I'm interested to see. I think we all are. And something I would never, you know, bring up outside of an Atlanta United focus segment is you have to look at the other teams that are doing well right now and thriving. You know, especially maybe in like in the Western Conference. And even in the Eastern Conference, Orlando, Philly, Columbus, all very, 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 very talented rosters, and rosters that I think people had their picks on winning and going very far in March. Those are some clubs that have struggled with attendance. In the West, though, it's Seattle. They're ruling the West right now, and they've never struggled with attendance. And yet, Sporting Kansas City right behind them, and then behind them, FC Dallas, who Atlanta United will face tomorrow night. And they're dangerous. They're on a three-game win streak, which is hard to find right now in this start-and-stop schedule, any team having any type of streak.
Julian Sakovic joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, pre-post and in-game host for Atlanta United on Fox Sports South. I'm going to get to FC Dallas because you made a good point about that, and they've been red-hot since the middle of August. But I want to ask you first, we got the announcement today, Atlanta United signing Marcelino Marino, when we knew that this kind of move was coming from the same club where Miguel Almiron, you know, reading some of the things about him, you know, obviously I you know, I'm just a ham and egg jabroni here in Atlanta. I couldn't tell you anything that goes on with him, but I wonder, Jillian, your thoughts about, do you think that there's going to be an unfair and unrealistic expectation from fans, and maybe not yourself, but media and things like that, about, you know, this is the next Miguel Almiron? I mean, that this is the next star? I mean, because it seems like every time Atlanta United makes one of these moves, I think people just expect that, okay, they've gone out and found the next great player, you know, for their franchise. And I wonder if people will maybe have too much of an unrealistic expectation for Marino when he comes in here.
John, I think that you hit the nail on the head there. And Carlos Bocanegra talked to me a little bit about this. we cannot say the next Miguel Almiron. We cannot say the next LGP. And I'm guilty of that. When we signed Fernando Meza, I said, oh, I couldn't come up with his name. I was on a call with Kevin Egan and Dan Gargan. I think I said something like, the new LGP. And I had to catch myself because these players, their personalities, their product on the field capture the hearts of the team so well. Only naturally when you lose a friend or someone that you love and isn't around you anymore, you want to fill that spot. And it's the same thing with players. And we cannot do this to people because it is so unfair. And you know what? Very hard. We've seen Titi Martinez, Barco, any players that are coming from abroad, new language, new culture. It's hard enough, right? So we have to give them the open arms feeling, which Atlanta United does, but we can't say that this is Miguel Almiron. Yes, and you'll see in Atlanta United's press release, they put that in like the third paragraph. And to their credit, because they don't want the fans to say, oh, this is the same club as Miguel Almiron. Oh, okay, he's a 25-year-old midfielder. We can't do that. You have to see, what is this guy going to have? How's he going to be unique? And I can relate as a broadcaster. You know, I have filled other people's shoes before, and it's really unfair when people expect you to be that person. So I'm guilty of it, but we really have to try not to be. But Marcelino, he's going to be here in a few weeks. You know, with COVID going on, there'll be a quarantine right. period. There's a visa period. So it'll still be a few weeks before we see him. But everyone is really excited to bring a guy of this caliber over here. You know, and at 25 years old right now, he's a little bit of an elder when you look at the ages of a lot of the guys on Atlanta United. So I think the age, I think the experience is really, really perfect right now.
Jillian, when you look at this FC Dallas team, they struggled coming out of the gate and with all the starts and stops. But you look, since their loss to Nashville on August 12th, I believe it was, they've had 4 wins, only 1 loss, and 3 draws. They've been red hot, and I think they're third now in the Western Conference in points. What's been the turnaround? I mean, this is a team that just has won 3 in a row. They just beat Kansas City, who's always one of the better scoring teams, it seems like, in MLS. What's been the turnaround? They were not good early, but, boy, they've been red hot for about the last month or so here.
You know what? Their schedule and their results can fool you. In my research tonight for Dallas, they've won their last 3. They only have 2 losses on the season, and both of those losses were 1-goal losses. So while they have a bunch of draws in there, the 2 losses, I mean, losing by 1 goal twice, that could go either way, as we know, and Dallas all of a sudden finds themselves in a very different position. They win those 2 games or they draw those 2 games, all of a sudden they're the best team in the Western Conference. So I wouldn't say it's anything as of late that has started clicking for them, but what I will say is they have a fantastic coach in Luchi Gonzalez and their academy system. When you look at FC Dallas, has been around for a very long time, but when you look at their academy system, you feel like every other guy you're saying on that roster, you're saying they're homegrown. They're homegrown this, homegrown that. We just saw them send Reggie Cannon to Portugal. So, you know, I think now FC Dallas has been a team that doesn't always spend a ton of money, but I think they're seeing their academy and their history start to pay some dividends for them, and they've brought in some exciting South American talent to kind of mix it in there, along with MLS veterans. You know, you've got Hedges, Hollingshead, those 2 defenders have played with each other now for 7 years. Imagine that, you know? So I think everything is just kind of clicking.
Check her out on Twitter. It's at Jillian Sakovitz. Of course, you can watch her on the broadcast tomorrow night for Atlanta United FC Dallas on Fox Sports South. She does all the pre- and post-game and does all the reporting in-game as well. Check out her podcast, MLS Call-Up. Find that on all your favorite podcast platforms. Jillian Sakovitz joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jillian, as always, appreciate the time. Have fun tomorrow night. Be safe. Be well. Enjoy. And let's go get a win tomorrow night.
Let's do it. And we'll see those Atlanta United fans in a month and 2 days. But who's counting?
You got it. Thanks, Jillian. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We'll see you. When we get back, we can be fan-friendly with you at 404-741-0929. What still bothers you the most about this defense for the Atlanta Falcons? I'll give you my thoughts, and if you want to give us yours, you can hit us up as well. It is John Chuckery Show, hanging out on this Tuesday night. Sports Radio, 929 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on this Tuesday evening. Braves rolling right along. Ozuna's homered in this game. Albies is homered in this game. Markakis is grounded out to first. 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Also, that's our phone line. If you want to jump in on the phone lines in this segment, we can be fan-friendly with you here on a Tuesday as we talk about some Falcons football and, of course, the hangout or the fallout, I should say, continuing from what happened on Sunday. Don't forget radio.com app site. Listen to us when you're on the go. Social media, 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. Thank you to the people following me today on the Twitter machine, and he's at JarvisD90. So, lost in the shuffle of all the things that are going on with this Atlanta Falcons franchise and where they're at has been the lack of improvement by this defense to be able to stop anybody. Now, you know, some fairness, some context. They've played two good offenses. They've played two pretty good quarterbacks. Certainly this past Sunday, a really good wide receiver group. But that being said, it's not been exactly an ideal start. Maybe the defense can get a little bit healthier statistically against a, wow, Dansby just powers one. That ball looks like it's just, those balls look like tonight, Jarvis, are hanging up in the wind or air or something. Like that thing looked like it had home run written all over and it just died out there. But anyway, so it's not been obviously the start defensively. Now, week one was a nice 3-sack effort, but Russell Wilson pretty much did anything that he wanted. Dak Prescott became the first player, I believe, in NFL history. What was it? Like 300 yards passing and three rushing touchdowns? I think he's the only quarterback in the history of the league to do that. Some kind of crazy stat. Hell, it don't matter. I mean, every time the Falcons play. One thing about the Dan Quinn era, they've managed a way to find to do everything historic that's never been done in the history of the NFL. Think about that. Think about how many historic moments in NFL history the Falcons have created under Dan. Whether it's like the first team to go 5-0 and not make the playoffs, the Super Bowl speaks for itself, this game last week, and on and on and on and on and on. But continuity. With that, I asked the question, and I'll get Jarvis's take here in just a minute. What part of the defense still concerns you the most? Okay? I'm going to say right now, even as bad as the secondary has been at times, it's not consistently sacking and getting to the quarterback. Last week was lousy. You had a first-team all-NFL left tackle out of that game and one of the better right tackles. I mean, Jarvis maybe can speak better. If that's not, especially with Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin not together anymore in Tennessee with Conklin moving on, I don't know. If that's not the best tackle duo in the NFL with those two guys in Dallas, if that's not the two best, I don't know. I don't know who is exactly. But Lael Collins, they don't have their two starting tackles, and this team really couldn't get any kind of pass rush going. Now, I understand. Tack got hurt, didn't play most of the game. I understand. They already down Charles Harris out of it. But you look, Fowler didn't get much of anything going out there, and nobody else, even interior-wise, was able to get. And we've said all year, you know, you got to tell me how we get to 40 sacks, because that secondary I already knew is not good enough to have to line up one-on-one with guys, whether it's corner or safety, and defend guys. You know, when Keanu gets one-on-one with, Amari Cooper, there's no chance on that play. You've got no chance. And that's not a Keanu thing. That's just bad positioning or however, you know, or good job by Dallas to exploit a matchup like that. So I already knew with a rookie corner, and I think I've made myself pretty clear. I don't believe in Isaiah Oliver for a second. I thought what he did was smoke and mirrors, and the only reason that he played well last year is because their pass rush increase things, but you still got to tell me how they get to 40 sacks. Because if we're going to be a legitimate playoff team and a team that can go places, you got to tell me how we get to 40. And right now, I'm not sure because I don't know about Tack's health, the rest of the guys that got. Grady's going to get 7 or 8 sacks, maybe a couple more. Fowler, I hope he's got a 12-sack season in him. You know, this should have been a game last week where he feasted. So even with all the issues in the secondary, my biggest concern still after these first couple of weeks is their lack of consistent pass rush, hitting quarterbacks, and accumulating sacks. Jarvis, I'll ask you, what part of the defense still gives you your biggest concern after a couple of weeks?
I think the depth and the getting back to full depth in the secondary, because I think that when you think about not having Kendall Sheffield, having to play Isaiah Oliver, unless you're willing to play put Bleedaway Wilson out there to help out a savvy veteran. But that's my biggest concern, because when you think about what they have to deal with, the possibility of Dante Fowler being banged up, Tack McKinley being out for some time, I think the secondary is gonna reap the negative benefits of those guys being out and not being able to be productive.
Yeah, I mean, see, I think their secondary is going to have a long season. I just I think Terrell will be fine. He's learning. I think he was better week over week. I think they only threw to him 3 times in the game last week. But if I'm
going to keep running 2-6 out there, it's going to be a problem.
Well, that's what I was just about to say, Jarvis. If I'm every team in the NFL, why would I not go right after Isaiah Oliver? I mean, why would I not exploit that matchup with him every single time? And to be honest with you, Darquez Dennard's not been a whole lot of improvement. You know, he's not exactly been terrific in the slot. I think he's been a little bit underachieving thus far as well. So, but you're right. Listen, as long as Isaiah Oliver's headed out there as the number 2 corner, you're going to have problems. You know, you're going to have some problems. And I'll liken it to, you know, I was never sold as a Falcons fan on Robert Alford. You know, I just was never sold. I thought he had good hands for a corner, but I thought that too often he was burned. Too often he tried to play the ball and got himself in trouble. I just was never a fan of what Robert Alford brought to the table. And I know he got paid a pretty good amount of money to go to Arizona, but I never thought Alford was an above-average corner. And people can argue and all that stuff. That's fine. But I never bought into it. I thought, you know, his penalties that he gives up weren't worth what he gave you back in return. What wasn't like, okay, I'll take this penalty because he's going to do this, that, and the other. No, it was never an equitable trade as far as that goes. But the best way to help those guys out back there is to put constant pressure on the quarterback. And look, obviously this week they get a chance to face a more traditional quarterback. And look, most every quarterback in the NFL nowadays has some ability to move. But certainly the first 2 weeks of the year, you saw two guys in Wilson and Prescott that have a lot more mobility, not just on being able to get outside and extend plays in the passing game, but obviously if they have to put the ball in their arm, tuck it, and start running downfield, they can pick up some yards. I mean, God bless Matt Ryan. How funny is it to watch him sometimes tuck it and take off? I mean, he's a try guy, no doubt about it. And he does what he has to do to go pick up some yards, try to keep plays alive, try to make a play a positive yardage play. You know, and if he can pick up a first down with his legs, you know, I think one of the things that he has definitely been much better at as his career has gone along is his willingness to take off with the ball downfield, to at least use his legs to try to help pick up a first down. I think he's been much better at that. That's definitely one of the things that I think he's been better at as he's grown with this franchise over, you know, this decade-plus run that he's had. So starting, you know, this weekend, you get a more traditional guy. Now, the following Monday night, you know, you've got a guy in Aaron Rodgers where it's not so much about him taking off, but I don't know. Jarvis, is there anybody that throws on the run better than Aaron Rodgers? Is there anybody in the NFL that when you talk about a guy who throws on the run, I'm not sure anybody's been better than him at throwing on the run. I think that's always been one of his strong suits is he can maneuver around, extend plays, but he's really good at throwing on the run.
Yeah,
and I think that's
2020
the thing
Aaron Rodgers is on a mission, man.
Oh, yeah.
League better watch out because that dude is on one this year.
Listen, their defense played so much better last year, and they really didn't take advantage of it, you know, obviously in the playoffs, excuse me, last year for it. And I think Aaron Rodgers knows that that window's closing as well, that that opportunity to have really good teams is closing as well. You know, when you start to get some of your young players to really step up and play well, you know, eventually, like every team and the Falcons are finding this out, you know, guys want to get paid. You know, there's only so long you can keep everybody together and try to continue to win with those guys without having to sacrifice too much. And that's what's so frustrating about the Falcons is you're watching and saying, well, crying out loud, why don't we got to capitalize on the guys that we have here now. We have to capitalize on our talent. So hopefully the pass rush can get it cranked up this weekend. You know, it's a not great Chicago Bears offense. They've got a really good wide receiver, obviously. But certainly, listen, got to start sacking the quarterback. You want to be a playoff team and you really – and what do we say all the time? Run the football effectively, sack the quarterback. It's tough to blow leads in the NFL. Not sure that they did either one of those things on Sunday to protect that lead, right? All right, we get back for the top of the hour because we've got Aaron Torres coming up at 9. We'll get to a Falcons flyover. We'll hear from Russell Gage. We'll hear from Dan Quinn. It's all next. Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.